Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me, for truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us to your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. May be seated. The history of Joseph in the Old Testament shows just how much God cares for his precious children. For Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him that they sold him into slavery. In the house of Potiphar, his master's wife bore false witness against him, and he was cast into prison. And yet, God was in complete control, working all things out for the good of his beloved children. For Joseph was raised from prison to the second most powerful position in all of Egypt. And in that position, he was able to save his family from famine. Therefore, God turned the problems and the sorrows of Joseph into joy. And God the Father will do the very same for each and every one of us. Let us then ponder this theme. Our sorrows will be turned to joy. The first reason for this is because Jesus hasn't abandoned us. Jesus and his disciples gathered together in the upper room to celebrate the Lord's Supper. During this event, he said to his disciples, "A little while, and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me, because I am going to the Father." Hearing this, the disciples began to discuss amongst themselves what he meant by a little while. They simply could not understand it. Yet in his omniscience, Jesus knew what they were thinking and what they were whispering. As he had done so many times before, he decided to answer their question in love and compassion. He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." In a little while, the disciples indeed faced terrible sorrow when Jesus was taken from them. For in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed into the hands of the Jewish authorities. The disciples, in turn, abandoned him and ran away in fear for their lives. On Good Friday, their depression reached its utter climax. For the one that they expected to be the Messiah, the King of Israel, was slaughtered on a Roman cross. And yet Jesus told them that their sorrow would be turned to joy. How could this great sorrow be turned to joy? Jesus explains with a picture of childbirth. A woman in labor probably experiences the greatest pain she'll ever have to experience in her life. This great pain, though, produces joy, for that brand new, healthy infant causes her to forget about all the pains of childbirth. In the same way, the disciples had to experience the anguish of childbirth when Jesus was taken from them and he was killed on the accursed tree. Still, that same sorrow produced profound joy. For in that cold, dark, gloomy grave, the resurrected Christ rose, who had won forgiveness of sins and salvation for all. When Jesus speaks to his apostles about this time of joy, he doesn't merely mean the 40 days that he spent visibly present amongst them. For Jesus had promised them that he was going to go to the Father in his ascension, and that he was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, through whom he would always be present amongst them. For Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Therefore, we must not understand the ascension as Jesus departing from us. Rather, the ascension shows us that he is only removing his visible presence from amongst us. For he ascended to fill all things with his presence, so that no matter where we are or what situation we might find ourselves, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, body, soul, and divinity, is there beside us, helping us all the way. Now, the second reason our sorrow will be turned to joy is because our tribulations won't last forever. Many think that Christian faith is always strong and resilient. It blows off the fiery darts of the devil, and it always betrays heavenly peace and joy. That's simply not the case. In fact, one of the greatest heroes of faith was Elijah. And yet there were times when he experienced very weak faith. In fact, on one occasion, he even cried out this, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life." Martin Luther, a man of faith, also experienced weak times when he wondered if his sins were even forgiven. Christian faith has its times of great strength and great weakness. There will be times of confidence and times of doubts. There will be joy and there will be sorrow. There will be conflicts and there will be peace. In such times of weakness, it might seem that Jesus has departed from us. The one who promised us that he would be with us in every need, it seems, has abandoned us. At such times, our sins weigh particularly heavy upon us. Our indulgence of our pet sins only makes it seem that he is not present amongst us. At such times, the psalmist captures our emotions when he writes, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And again, the psalmist writes, "For I am envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." What then is the purpose of sorrow and affliction? C.F.W. Walter once explained, "Without feeling our terrible sins, we would never remain in Christ, for we would become hard and self-righteous." This same truth is captured by the psalmist when he writes, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." When we are filled with terror and anxiety about our many sins, that's when we find sweet joy and desire the forgiveness of sins. At such times like this, God's word, God's promise of forgiveness, is never something boring or trite or something we have no time for. Rather, we at these times cling to the cross of Christ, for that's the only place we find comfort in this troubled existence. All tribulations in this life have their purpose. They are meant to strengthen our faith and to purify it. For faith is a muscle that must be regularly exercised so that it grows. In times of tribulations, The Christian will remain patient, not give way to despair. He will return again and again to his Father in prayer, asking for help. And he will use God's word, confident that there we will get the strength and the power to overcome all things in him. After this time of affliction, Jesus will begin to turn all of our sorrows into joy. It is then that we will finally see that Jesus had been always alongside us, even when he seemed so far apart from us. For he will either remove all of our afflictions, or he will give us the strength to carry them on just a little further. But note, he never allows us to suffer more than we can bear. But in every affliction, be it sickness, be it disaster, be it even the death of a loved one, be assured that Jesus rules over all things in the universe so that all things work out for the good of his beloved children. After all, if he was willing to go to the very cross to pay for our sins, we can rest assured that he will be with us in every trial of life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, of your fatherly goodness, you allow your children to come under your chastening rod here on earth, that we might be like your only begotten Son in suffering and hereafter in glory. We beseech you, comfort us by your Holy Spirit in all temptations and afflictions, that we may not fall into despair, but that we may continually trust in your Son's promise that our trials will endure but a little while, and will then be followed by eternal joy, that we thus in patient hope may overcome all evil and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.